You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You're listening to Just a Quick One. Just a quickie. Just a quick one. Just want to remind you all to vote for us in the Webby Awards for the Best Health and Wellness Podcast,
which ends today. At some point at the end of the day in California time, and we're British, so we've got no idea when that is, and wherever you are around the world. So make sure you stop right now, just before this podcast episode starts. Go to thewebbyawards.com or just search it on Google like the rest of us simple souls, and then vote for us so we can get a Webby Award.
Yay! And then Curious Fuckers Club, we all unite and be award winners.
Yeah, and we'll send you pictures of our tits with the award between them when coronavirus is over.
Yes, we will.
And now back to your audio porn. Enjoy this episode.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Shaft Udin.
Hello, curious fuckers. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and together we're Come Curious.
When we're not just fucking around on YouTube and Instagram,
every Thursday we invite a new guest onto Fucks Given to talk about their best fucks, worst fucks,
and the fucks that made them.
We also answer your sex questions and read out your sex stories.
So stay tuned as we divulge all the delicious details.
Well done, you got it right.
Yay!
Udin!
Welcome, Shaft, to our podcast, all the way from Thailand right now. Yay. You're in Thailand.
Also known as Tantra Island.
Oh, ooh. Amazing. Has it been tantric?
I think there's a shift in the great yoni force happening on the island, where it's attracting a lot more people seeking spiritual healing. And the juicy tantric people, who are the people who are the renegades and don't give a fuck, they're not here anymore. Like, we all like graduated and left and went into the cities and took all our teachings and learnings to the real world, and then we all came back a little bit traumatized, and we just came here to heal ourselves from all the conditionings from the Matrix again. It's a constant cycle of expansion and contraction.
Yeah, mad. Stuck over there because of coronavirus?
I was about to ask that. Like, have you been affected?
I'm living a really nice life here. It doesn't really affect me. I'm just surrounded by my mates in a house, in a massive white villa called Valhalla, full of Vikings and dudes. So we're just having a nice time.
Sounds beautiful.
That sounds pretty cozy.
Super nice. Yeah, we're still doing like fun events, sex magic rituals, ecstatic dances, but it's not like hundreds of people. It's just like a few select juicy, nice people. All hush hush.
That all sounds so amazing. Can't wait to like get into that. But can you tell our curious fuckers a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I am Shaft Udin. I'm a somatic body worker, mainly working with women with sexual trauma. My background's yoni massage, yoni diarmuring, tantra. I give talks on female empowerment. I was a former lesbian and a former unicorn, was a sacred sexual Jedi, and now I'm just trying to be Shaft. Udin.
Amazing. That sounds like a massive journey.
Yeah.
What made you say former lesbian and former unicorn?
So I disowned my masculinity when I was a young man. I had a very violent, absent father. I grew up with terrible male role models, and I just hung out with women. I hung out with mainly women because they were the ones that were on the dance floor first, and they didn't need to get shit-faced to dance and have a good time. And I wanted to be with them because I love dancing and getting my tits out. So I just hang out with the girls all the time. And basically, they just had more fun, so we'd just like sit around and have a laugh. That made me very feminine. So normal people in normal society, before Russell Brand and Noel Fielding, people just thought I was gay. And then I went to Burning Man, and it turns out the more feminine you are, the more sex you have. So I was able to be myself.
Yes.
So I was just this flamboyant unicorn, and I just lived a very good life. Then I had my awakening, which is basically not the way Neo had his awakening in The Matrix, but I just had a mental breakdown, a crisis. And
we've been there.
Mental health, love it. But in the end, I found Tantra, and that's the thing that healed me. And then I found out why I was the way I was. It was because of my father. And then I used my yoni massage techniques and the yoni de-armoring stuff on my dad when he had a stroke. So I basically made him cry.
No fucking way.
Released a lot of trauma from his body, not his vagina. He doesn't have a vagina. I didn't give my dad a vaginal massage. It's a transferable skill. So I used certain techniques to hold space for him. He couldn't speak. I actually preferred him when he wasn't how he is. And he stayed really open afterwards. And he actually stopped being so opinionated. Like, when you have a major health crisis and a near-death experience, you just become a little bit more humble. So he's really nice now. Me and him are super tight. Not in a vagina way. And he's like the best mate.
That's amazing. Like a great story.
Such a beautiful story.
Yeah, so now I'm no longer a lesbian. I like hang out with dudes and make out with dudes.
Oh, amazing. So like super pansexual. Super fluid. Would you call yourself pansexual?
No, I would say I'm bisensual, not bisexual. So sensual with dudes. I'm not there yet to put a penis in my mouth and open up my Vishuddha chakra.
So let's go back to what we were talking about, unicorns. What does that mean for all our listeners who have no idea what you mean when you say you are a unicorn?
So, you know, in all the shops in the world now, there are lots of unicorn items like mugs, t-shirts, pencil cases. In like Topshop, H&M, Primark, it's everywhere. In 2011, there wasn't any unicorn paraphernalia anywhere in the world on such a large scale. I was a big burner. I was in the Burning Man world. You could Google image Burning Man or Google it, image Burning Man shaft unicorn. And that's basically where I was born, a unicorn. I took a shit ton of ketamine and I thought I was a unicorn.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I have an advertising background, so I was like, okay, I'm used to exploiting subcultures to sell a brand. I want to start my own, like, gang. I don't want it to be a subculture. I want it to be popular culture straight away. I was basically just being invited to all of these parties all over London and all around the world to be this unicorn. Trashicorn, as I called it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just was just this mental person who was just having a great time by himself, being hired by himself to make out with people by himself. So that's all I ever did. And then one super attractive girl was like, oh, this is fun. And everyone was like, oh, she's hot. I want to have sex with her, or I want to be with her, or I want to be like her. And then people thought, oh, he's not insane because there's a hot girl with him. Let's all be unicorns.
And you were like, the first time I ever heard about you was from Vice. Obviously, I used to work there, and you had a kind of like a big documentary all about you being a unicorn on there, which is really interesting.
That's the thing that started the whole unicorn consciousness, put that into the
collective consciousness, and then it became a thing. But that's actually not what I'm famous for.
Oh, what are you famous for, Charles?
Well, wouldn't you like to know? It's actually Yoni Massages. I did a sequel to the Unicorn documentary, which reached a lot more people.
And yeah.
10 questions you always wanted to ask a tantric sex guru.
Yes. Was the
thing that changed everything.
Tell us, what is a yoni massage and why do people get them?
So, yoni massages, the word yoni is the oldest Sanskrit word for vulva. It's mm-hmm. also known as the sacred space where all life comes from. And I like to describe it as, like, when a gazelle is in the wild eating grass, minding its own business, when a tiger chases it, grabs it, but it shakes itself loose, what the gazelle naturally does is finds an open space of ground and just shakes all of the trauma out of its body until it wakes, gets up and starts eating grass again. It doesn't need any talking therapy, it doesn't need to take any pills, and it doesn't need a yoni massage or tantra workshops to be back to itself again. So using breath, sound and movement, and also someone holding space for someone who has suffered sexual trauma, and all trauma mm-hmm. is stored in the body, all of the stories are not just in the brain, it's actually in the body somewhere. And if it's specifically sexual trauma, then it will be stored in the sex. And the yoni, the sacred space, should not be tense. It yeah. should not be numb. It should not have pain when you make love. Also, I like to describe it like a flower. So if you have a very tense, like, body, the yoni actually takes in the finger, and then
yeah, when it's turned on, it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks it in. So all I do is just press a few areas where I feel the tension, and it slowly, slowly opens up like a flower. And instead of it being on the defensive, it actually relaxes. And in the moment of relaxation, all of the stories, all of the pain, all of the trauma gets released, and a woman will go through a very shamanic journey.
Amazing. Wow. That sounds incredible, especially for anyone who has dealt with sexual trauma, who have maybe yeah. tried therapies or tried, you know, like what they call dilators for vaginismus. Maybe it's worth giving yoni massages a go.
Yeah. This is why I call my work Sacred Sexual Awakening. Like, it's just the beginning of a woman's journey. Like, when they start with me, they come with, like, they've tried everything.
Yeah.
And this is, like, their last hope. So they've been to the doctors, they've been on pills, they've done talking therapy, they've done the ayahuascas and the vipassanas, tried their yoga TTCs, nothing's working until they either see that video or they stumble across sacredsexualawakening.com, and then they start falling down a rabbit hole. And when they do have a session, like, I have seen so much profound human transformation happen in front of me. And from giving this work, I've personally overcome my depression, my loneliness, my suicidal tendencies, my addiction issues, through learning about where we all came from. Our mother's vaginas in general. I actually learned how to honor the divine feminine inside of me and externally. And, like, my history with women is not great. Like, I've been physically abused, mentally abused. I've had the most horrific things happen to me. Though I didn't become a woman hater. I became a woman worshiper. So, yeah.
That's good.
We'll change our stories.
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck number one.
The last fuck.
Shit, it was so long ago. I'm celibate now.
Oh, really? Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I'd have to look at my diary. I can't even remember who it, where it was. I think it was.
How long have you been celibate for?
It's a long time for a tantrika, 14 days, like intentionally.
I thought you were.
This is a long time for me, okay?
And I was not expecting 14 days.
And it's 1.5 months. You know, unintentionally, I was celibate because I just didn't meet anyone.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's been over a month for me now in quarantine.
I mean, it's a great time to be celibate, right? To practice this, you know, as we call it in the goddess circles, a womb cleanse.
Yeah, choose celibacy during isolation. It might make you go less crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've done.
Yeah, I've taken the higher ground here. I am celibate when really, no, it's just, we're just fucking desperate.
I can't remember when I had sex last, but I think it was with a beautiful mother of two in Stockholm.
Oh, lovely.
And does energy sex count?
Yeah, yes. If you count energy sex as sex, then yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, then yeah. I had sex yesterday. It's on my Instagram stories, at Shaf Gooden.
Amazing.
Wait, what? You're having energy sex on Instagram?
Yeah. On my IG, on my stories. It's all there. Me and my friend actually did a very, very serious chat about people's relationship to money and sex. So yesterday, I went round to my friend's house and we did a 32-minute quick sex magic ritual because I was in between holding space for an ecstatic dance and a cacao ceremony and had to go and there's a curfew here, so like I had to go back to the ecstatic dance, pick up my mate and then leave. So yesterday we had we created the money lasagna.
Amazing.
Where on the bed, we took the duvet off and we did a big mandala made of like money. And then we put the layer on, which was the duvet. And then we put a big amount of money that created a circle because all magic is done in a circle with like all these little stars and everything. And we put on a playlist to work through our chakras. And then we had energy sex on all the money.
Oh, that's so fucking amazing. Money is such a turn on. It's annoying, but it is.
But please explain the energy sex thing. Like, how did that work?
Okay, so I help a lot of women who have anorgasmia, which means they aren't able to have orgasms by themselves or with a partner. They've never experienced it. They literally think they are broken. For me, it's one of my most beautiful cases to work with because if you could breathe, you could have an orgasm. So when I'm teaching in co-worker spaces or in the major cities, I get loads of people to have energy orgasms by tricking them into doing a certain thing. So like, I get everyone to like lie down and I say, okay, just imagine it's a hot sunny day in July. You've just finished work. You're on the underground. You're hot and sweaty, you're about to get into your house, you open up the door, you grab the fridge door, you open up and you get your favourite can of Coke or kombucha and you open it, you take a swig. What sound do you make when you exhale? And everyone goes, ah. And I'm like, great, what we're going to do is do that for 1 hour. So everyone's going, and everyone's having an energy orgasm.
Oh my god, that
sounds incredible.
I obviously give a demonstration because I'm a multi-orgasmic man.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So this is how energy flows through the body. It's with the breath, it's with sound, it's with movement, it's playful as well. It doesn't have to be just about genital interactions. Mm-hmm.
So as we know that different people have different energy orgasms, I want to ask you a personal question. If you get an erection while having these energy orgasms, or like would a clitoris get engorged, or is it all in the mind? Like, how does it work?
It's not all in the mind. It's actually all in the body.
Ah,
that's the whole key. Yes, boom, there it is. Just tantrum you, yo.
So the key about all of this is to get the fuck out of the mind. Like, mm-hmm. get out of your head and into your body. This is why I chose Tantra as my healing modality. I had a lot of mental issues. I don't have them anymore because I chose sex as my spiritual practice. That's the best way to meditate. So yeah. when I'm having an energy orgasm, I'm not in my head. I'm not visualizing or thinking anything. I'm just feeling. And from that space, I can have an erection. I can have a semi-erection, or I could be completely flaccid. Like, the beautiful thing about these tantric practices is, like, there is no goal. It's all about the sensations. It's like, now I'm multi-orgasmic and I've experienced more orgasms than most women could ever dream of. Because it turns out it's not just about women. It's a human thing.
Yeah.
And men have only ever understood one ejaculative orgasm, which is not the way it's meant to be. It's actually, we're all the same, actually. So when I'm experiencing this, it's multidimensional. It's not just the body reacting to certain types of orgasmic blisses. It's actually new sensations. And that becomes my new hit. It used to be trauma release orgasms when, like, a story gets released and then I have, like, this tension where the story's been lodged for decades and then it expands and then all this love and bliss gets filled into this void where it was just dark and icky for a while. That used to be my go-to orgasm. Now it's like, oh, new sensation. Wow, I haven't felt that before. Like, you've got these amazing bodies and no one knows how to use them. Until you start working with Shaft Uddin.
We need to. We've actually both been so interested in, like, trying out, like, Tantra and, like, really exploring that side of sex as well, but we just haven't really done it yet, have we?
Yeah, we need to video with you. Come back to England and then we'll do this video.
I'm coming back to England. I do Twin Goddess Awakenings, which is a double yoni massage, simultaneous.
Fuck, could you imagine?
So I'm a professional dancer and I've been a mover, like, all my life. So basically I'm ambidextrous and I can pleasure two women at the same time.
Whoa.
And the beautiful thing about it is we're all connected due to the scientific term of mirror neurons. So whatever one person is feeling, the other person will feel it. And then if the other person is feeling it, then all three of us will feel it.
Wow,
so
shit.
If someone's feeling an orgasm, then it will activate someone else's orgasmic system. And then it will activate someone else's orgasmic system. And if everyone's kundalinis are activated, then you've got something out of this world. And if everyone knows breath work, which I guide people through, then you go to the next dimension. It's like DMT.
That sounds insane.
I mean, I'm game.
Yeah, sign me up.
Once.
Great.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop. And even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Fuck 2. The first fuck.
Okay, so my first time, when I lost my virginity, was when I was 19.
Okay.
Back in 1999.
Ooh.
I wanted to make sure it was with someone that I loved. So I had a thing called, I call it genital mutilation. It's also known as circumcision. Most Muslim boys have it. I had it at a very older age, so it was horrific and one of the biggest traumas I had when I was a child.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I can imagine.
So I couldn't be naked when I was little. And I was very, like, I didn't want to show my dick to anyone, basically. And I decided, I'm going to make sure I'm in love with someone. I'm going to learn from all of my friends' mistakes of getting shit-faced at a house party and then having random sex with someone. So I was like, okay, I'm going to fall in love with someone. And when I saw the one, I was like, huh, that's the person who I want to lose my virginity.
Love at first sight.
Love at first sight. It kind of was, yeah. Like, I basically saw her, met her, and made her a painting of near her house. I used to be an artist. Oh, well, I still am. My body's a canvas now. So I did a beautiful little painting of her, of a rose. And then I did another painting of her back garden, which is kind of like a farm type thing. She was a, as I described it back then, this is the words of a 19-year-old that I'm going to say now. She was a reformed slapper, as I used to say.
What? Wait, so, what even was a slapper? I can't remember what that even meant.
Oh, like it's like a it's like a English word for like a slag, like a.
So she was a well-experienced lady, and I was not. And the first, so she basically made me wait 8 months before we had sex.
Wow.
And that was that was a really painful time. Like that's
understandable. Like I mean, actually, props to her because if you know you're young and you haven't had sex before, she wants to make sure that this is the right option for you and to see how things go, make you feel comfortable.
I think it had more to do with she didn't want to have sex with anyone anymore because she had sex with so many people and she wanted a womb cleanse.
Yay, womb cleanse. Fair enough.
Womb cleanse. So that's what it was more than the other way around. So I waited. I had a lot of, I suffered a lot of blue balls, which, and back then I wasn't masturbating. Like I never masturbated before. I masturbated the first time when I was 24 in Mexico with suntan lotion.
Whoa,
with suntan lotion, your poor penis.
No, it's really painful.
Jeez.
I don't have a foreskin, for fuck's sake. They cut it off when I was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't, like, even back in the day, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, shower cream, Dove. Dove was, like, the best one. I wanked with that, and I was like, why? Why have I done
That's the worst one for your vagina. Dove is what gave me BV once.
So painful. Dove's gonna be like, well, we're never sponsoring you, bitches.
Let's let rewind. Blue
okay,
balls.
So what so actually blue is? Balls,
yeah.
What is it? Oh, it's basically where you don't come, so you build up
and
all
is
this
it painful?
Semen. It's super painful. I mean, I never suffer from it now because I'm tantric and I don't ejaculate anymore. I injaculate, so that's rewired my whole body and nervous system to do something that it's not meant to do, but it's a tantric practice. Whereas when you're 19 and you're really horny and you've got a super hot girlfriend that you want to have sex with and she doesn't want to have sex with you and you're being rejected all the time, it's super frustrating.
Yeah.
And then she will give you sex and then you will be a man. And that one day was April the 1st. 1999.
You remember
Oh my god, you remember the
date? How can you not remember it? I made sure I was sober.
Fair enough. That's actually really respectful of you as well to make sure you're sober because a lot of people do get absolutely wasted because it gives them that fake confidence.
Exactly, yeah. True. I mean, this is why I was an alcoholic for
Oh, it's not fair. I don't think anyone should lose their virginity drunk or wasted. I don't think, unless you enjoy like chem sex or drunk sex, like sex should be sober. You feel everything so much more.
Well, the first time I had sober sex was when I was 34.
Wow, that's incredible.
I know. So when I had sex on April the 1st, 1999.
Yeah.
It was kind of, I think she was bleeding. She was on her period and my penis was going in. And I was like, and like we were best friends. Like we would have a laugh. Like we were like best of buddies. Like my penis was going in. I was like, is this it? We're having sex. And she's like, yep, this is it. I was like, this is okay, right. And that's that.
Is this it?
This is it. We just did sex and we high. I think we high-fived after that as well.
Oh, did you ejaculate?
No. And at this point, I've never ejaculated. Like, I was 19, I would, you know, as a kid, sometimes wake up and I thought I'd piss myself. Because I didn't ejaculate, I didn't masturbate, Muslim family. Like, that wasn't actually the issue. I just didn't have, like, I just know what, like, you know, that wasn't the thing. So it's only on the second time when we actually had sex, I think she was bleeding again, I actually ejaculated. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck was that? That was amazing. And then I didn't want to stop, ever.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Then I didn't stop. In fact, when I discovered Tantra, back in 2014, I was like, to my mate, the only spiritual person I knew, I was like, Hardstar, I heard about this Tantra thing. I want to do it. And he said, mate, you don't want to do fucking Tantra. That's where you don't ejaculate. And I was like, hang on, that's the best bit of life. Like, I'm not doing Tantra. And I didn't do Tantra for another year until I met weird coincidences that happened because of one person's opinion. And now, looking back at the whole of the decade that was the last one, the biggest achievement I ever made was not starting a unicorn revolution or bringing Tantra to the masses or buying land or having a couple of houses and like a retreat center. It was actually rewiring my nervous system so I became multi-orgasmic and became tantric.
That's beautiful. Insane.
I do want to just rewind slightly and talk about the fact that your first two times were period sex, because
it's really cool.
I think especially for guys when they go in to have sex, like, You get a fair few that do not like period sex, mm-hmm. and they're quite like adverse to it. So, like, how did you feel about the fact that she was on her period?
I couldn't give a shit. I was about to have sex for the first time. I waited 8 months for fuck's sake. Come on. I mean, for me, like, I work with women, and like, I'm the person I'm just messaging right now is an amazing client of mine, and she came to me with period pain. And when I heard her story, which is a beautiful, tragic, amazing story, I was like, okay, the first thing I'm going to help you with is you'll never have period pain again. And that's amazing. The gift I wanted to give her. And I'm working with her for a whole year. Just that relationship with blood for women is a big thing to overcome. And for men to have sex with women, like, it's like a whole thing that every human, and I, as I said earlier, it's a human thing. It's not a man-woman thing. So the fact that I got initiated into blood practice, sacred blood, from a young age, made me well into blood sports. So whenever a woman or a girlfriend would have period pain, I would just have sex with them and it would just vanish. They would have no more period pain.
Yeah.
So I'd really introduce to all my girlfriends and lovers and people I'd be having sex with this beautiful practice of having sex on your period, even though it's the last thing that you want to do because you don't feel sexy. It's like, it's actually the first thing that you probably need.
It's basically like the penis is massaging your period, like period pains and cramps from the inside out.
It can make your period shorter, and also, like, I guess the endorphins that you get from sex, they do get rid of the pain. Although Reed doesn't have, like, you don't ever do period sex, do you? Because you find it painful.
Yeah, like, unfortunately, it's not the cramps. I just feel too raw, like, on the inside. It's not pleasurable for me. But that just because I haven't had pleasurable period sex doesn't mean I won't have it in the future. I'm still open to it. We'll see. You never know. I'll come to you on my period, see if we can sort me out.
I do work with a lot of women when they are bleeding as well. So with this line of tantric work, we do a lot of sex magic, and we use menstrual blood and semen. Like, the only time I actually ejaculate is if a lover wants to use it for magic. And I actually drink menstrual blood if a woman wants to do magic with me. Again, check out my Instagram, at @shaftudin.
Wait, tell us more. Like, what is sex magic for? Like, what does it do?
So, sex magic. When I got into Tantra, I looked at
what there was. There's eye gazing or sex magic, and I chose sex magic. And I basically became a sex magic specialist. And when I got into that, I actually stopped working. I stopped working for Saatchi and Fox TV and all the major like advertising agencies in London. And I basically retired after that.
Right.
I learned how to manifest wealth by having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Tantric
need
sex,
some of
not
that.
Like porn. Exactly. So this is the sex magic ritual that is on my Instagram account I did yesterday. It's hilarious, and whatever you believe in comes true. And if a large number of people are doing the same thing, then it's reality. It's no longer just a weird person with a bit of cardboard on his head pretending to be a unicorn. Like, it's a bunch of people having sex together, manifesting shit tons of cash.
Or get rid of COVID-19. That'd be great, so we can all leave our houses again.
Oh, yeah. Please do some magic for that.
Yeah.
The cure.
I didn't think
please.
Of that. Let's fuck for freedom.
Yeah. Fuck for freedom.
The cure. The vaccine.
Fuck. You do know that if you have a lot of sex, it boosts your immune system. And it's actually in the NHS website saying have lots of regular sex because you will be a lot healthier. So everyone out there, have sex with me. I'm single, celibate. Womb cleanse.
Yeah, what happened to the womb cleanse? That went out
Find
the window.
Me on Instagram, at Shaftodin.
Please slide in.
Fuck three.
The best fuck.
Ooh, I was thinking about this the other day. This is a very unusual one.
Mm.
So there was a lady on Tantra Island. She was very forward, definitely not my type. And she was on the back of my bike. We were going to a party. And when we do parties, we do like sober conscious parties. So I was taking her to the place. She was very clingy and like just very touchy-feely, and I thought, oh, this is nice, bit of affection. And then I was like, hey, whilst I'm driving, you could, if you want, you could just, you know, hold my penis for safety. Keep it safe, keep it secret, as Gandalf would say.
Oh, that old one.
That
you
old
know, penis needs a safety belt as well.
Exactly. Oh, you know this one. So, so she did. And she's, again, a lovely girl, not my type. We spent the night dancing and I was chatting to people. She came back to my house and I did the classic thing that women do, which was pretending to be asleep whilst she was trying to have sex with me. And the more she tried it on, the more I was just pretending
Wait,
to be asleep.
This is your best fuck?
Look, the story's coming, okay?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's getting there.
Getting there. So the next morning, I wake up. She's there. Again, definitely not my type of woman. I've been avoiding her and I've been quite proud of myself that I didn't have sex with someone I didn't like, no matter how hard she was trying it on with me. Like, I was like, well done, Shaft. You really were strong with your boundaries. For a man, when you wake up, you just naturally have a massive, hard, erect penis.
Yep, and I know that one. Yeah. I mean, as in, I know that one for guys.
Yeah. So my penis was there, it was erect. She was trying it on again, and I was sleepy. I was just waking up. I thought, fuck it, I'll just have sex. So I gave in.
Doesn't sound good.
But what happened was the most life-changing thing that happened to me in all of my sexual experiences. So this woman who I didn't really know, I was doing a lot of tantric practices. A lot of weird stuff happens whilst you're having sex. You see your future selves. You could see your past selves. You have past life regressions. It's like taking ayahuasca, but you're using sexual energy to go into those states of your subconscious to release trauma and stories and tap into the galactic consciousness. Again, all sober, by the way. So what happened was, she turns out to be some kind of shamanic witch bitch. And like, she was like doing all this weird stuff on me, rattling me around like a witch. And at this point, I was like opening up and I started to feel all of the pain the masculine has caused the feminine throughout time.
Wow. Fucking hell.
And I felt all of this like oppressive pain and suffering that my people have caused upon your people, like my gender against your gender. And I felt that, and I was like hysterically crying while she was doing all this shamanic shaking on top of my penis when she was riding me. So I was in tears, hysterically crying, and
wow,
like this went on for hours. And in the end, after this, the most profound experience, we stopped having sex. Like I lay in Savasana, just feeling all this energy flowing through me, all this release. And from that moment, I made the vow of the job that I do now. Like, I don't want to be part of the problem of men and women. I want to be the bridge of men and women. I want to make a commitment to bring world peace through intimacy, so there's no more blaming and shaming, yeah, between men and women. But it's all about co-creation and transparency and healthy boundaries. And that's when I went on my journey, because of sex I didn't want to have with someone. Wow. It ended up being an amazing shamanic experience.
I mean, that sounds incredible.
That
as
does
well.
Sound life changing as well.
What's the moral of the story? I have no idea.
Intense as well. Like,
it completely changed my life.
It sounds like almost bringing a lot of positive from negative, and having it as like your best fuck is, wow. I mean
you had like crazy. you basically had a massive epiphany, right? Like, yeah, during sex,
a fuck epiphany.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck number four.
The worst fuck.
I was living in Stamford Hill, and a friend of mine said, there's a girl that really likes you. And I was like, great, I'm single. I'd like to see what she looks like. So he sent her a picture, and he said, and I was like, oh, she looks nice. And he said, do you want to go on a date? I was like, yeah, sure. So we started chatting on the internet, and I looked at her profile, and I think it was the days of mysinglefriend.com, if anyone remembers that.
No.
It's before the days of the Tinder generation.
Yeah.
Like, everyone in London was on mysinglefriend.com. And it said that she lived in London, so I was like, okay, cool. And I looked at her profile, she seemed fine. And she said, I'll organise a date. I'll meet you in Dalston, which was just down the road from me.
Yeah.
So we went to some bar that I used to go to all the time, and she looked nothing like her picture.
Uh-oh.
And then I was like, okay, end of the night, I'm off to bed. Bye! And she said, oh, I live in Surrey. And I was like, really? And I was like, but in your profile, it said you lived in London. They said, no, I work in London. I was like, okay.
That's long. And for anyone who doesn't know, the geography of London and Surrey, Surrey is a good hour journey away.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing she's saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to stay at yours tonight.
Yeah, yeah. She knew that.
That's well sneaky.
I know, super sneaky. So I was like, okay, I guess, you know, there's 3 hours left until you have to get the first train. Because I really didn't want her. Like, I mean, it was an okay day, but I didn't want to, like, I was good. I was complete. I was done. But she came back to my house, and I was like, okay, I'm going to just have a nightcap. And I had a huge shot, like, massive drink of gin and tonic, so I could just pass out, which I did. But again, she was very persistent and just wanting to, like, try getting into my pants. I was, you know, wearing my skinny jeans, and it's really hard to get into skinny jeans, but she managed to get in there. And
try not to laugh. Oh, fuck.
Remember, if this story was the other way around.
Mm-hmm. No, but the skinny jeans are killing me. Back in the day,
no,
when you have to laugh,
this
them
is
on.
Really bad.
This is really fucked up. I know which direction this is going. Stop making me laugh. I have to concentrate. Come on, it's a horrible story. Come on.
It's just another story, isn't it? So I was trying to sleep again, pretending to be asleep. She would not stop, and this time I was a classic British person who was just being polite, because I hadn't overcome any of my social conditionings or my specific country's conditioning, which is we suffer from British politeness. So we'd rather have our own boundaries overstepped than say no. So we don't want to hurt other people's feelings.
True.
So I couldn't say no when this happened. And I let this woman have sex with me. And the only way I could end the whole situation super quick was just to ejaculate as quick as I could so I wouldn't have an erect penis so it would go on any longer. That's what they did.
That's horrific.
So I let myself be politely raped.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that with us, because male rape is something that nobody really talks about. And it isn't, for some reason, it's not almost seen as equal, and that's total bullshit, because it is still rape, it is still non-consensual sex, and it's half the time it's even worse because you have an erect penis which you don't want. So it's a real mind fuck of emotions. So thank you, Shah, for sharing that with us and being so open and honest.
Thank you for listening.
I think it's really important to kind of highlight that aspect where people do go through with sexual situations, and just because they don't say no doesn't mean that it's consensual sex.
Mm-hmm.
I think this happens in so many cases, and it's definitely happened in my life as well, where you just sort of go through with it because you're like, I can't say no to this person right now because I feel bad for them.
Yeah, it's madness. Like, why have we been taught this? Why don't we know that? Or, like, why are we just not comfortable with being like, hey, nah, not feeling it? And it, rather than being like, oh, what if I ruin the situation? What if they hate me? What if they get angry? What if, like, I make this awkward? Which is such a pathetic fear to have over saying, like, no, I don't want to have sex with you or do something sexual.
And sometimes it literally is just avoiding awkwardness, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, a small bit of awkwardness and, I don't know, like, an awkward conversation shouldn't be worth, like, having sex that you don't want to have.
Mm-hmm.
So in the tantra community, we all speak the same language. So when someone says no, we say, thank you for taking care of yourself. Because when it's super nice. So when someone actually says no, they're not wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's a great thing about a cup of tea. Like, you know, hey, do you want a cup of tea? No, I know you want a cup of tea. You definitely want this cup of tea, right? No, I don't want this cup of tea. You want this cup of tea?
Go on, man.
Thirsty.
Yeah, force you to drink the fucking cup of tea.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, it's like when we get the no, it's not about us. And our tantric spiritual practice is to not take things personally, to allow the other person to express their no. And I run these huge conscious orgies.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why my orgies are different to any other orgies is because it's strictly no drink, no drugs. Strictly. Anyone who is on something, they will get kicked out. Because it's like someone turning up drunk at work. Everyone knows they're drunk because everyone's sober. Yeah. And you can just smell it and see it. Whereas in these conscious orgies, the reason why they're so profound is because we're teaching people to have solid boundaries, how to express their desires, how to approach someone and how to say no, how to engage in a big scene that's happening with multiple people, and how to, like, take care of yourself, and how to, if you're triggered, ask for help. So
it's a really, like, important lesson to learn. And I think this is why it needs to be spoken about, because people aren't talking about this. And this is why it happens so frequently with people of all genders. Like, it isn't just women who get raped. It can happen to anyone, because you can be pushed into these situations so easily because we don't know how to set our own boundaries. And it's definitely like a really important conversation.
There's a lot of men in these spiritual tantric communities. They literally are in a candy shop. Like, there's more women in these communities than there are men. There's hardly any men here.
Mm-hmm.
But these men have not been taught how to say no. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, they want sex, but they don't want a relationship. But they don't know how to say anything because they don't want to hurt the person's feelings. So there's so many men and women in the spiritual communities that are just fucked because they've had their boundaries overstepped. They haven't learned how to say no, or how to say yes, or how to like create a boundaries system or a relationship dynamic where, yes, I would love to have sex with you, but I don't want to go any deeper in a relationship. Like, just being transparent and open. Whereas in the tantric communities, as we're dealing with sexual energy, we're talking, we need to understand relationships. We not only need to understand the relationship with ourselves, we need to know where our understanding of relationships come from, which is from our parents, our grandparents, and the country we grew up in.
Yeah.
And when you learn how to clear all that, you learn how to be free. And that's tantric liberation.
I guess it's quite a difficult thing to bring up, especially because I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily want to like learn it from Tantra. So it's like, how do we bring that conversation into everyone's lives?
So this was my mission when I first got into Tantra. I wanted to make it like mainstream. So when I did that viral video that reached 16 million people, people started to hear the word Tantra again. But this... I need to get out of my bubble. Like, I don't want to be in a tantra bubble anymore. Like, I've been here for 6 years. I'm done. I'm good. I got what I needed. I need to be back in London. I need to be back in Stockholm. Like, I need to be in a major city and get this work to people that need it more than the people that are just living it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
there's only so much paradise you could take. Until you crave a bit of stability.
I need a city life again.
Yes. So if you know anyone that wants a coaching session with me, or want me to give talks in massive shopping malls or big conferences, I don't use the word tantra anymore. I use the word conscious ways to connect. Instead of talking about chakras and energy and vibrations, I talk about left brain and right brain, mental health. Yeah. Addiction, why are we addicted? It's all about human connection. So
I mean, that makes sense, because like it's silly, but words like tantric and even meditation and hypnosis, like, they put people off. They've put me off before, when, you know, like, I'm all like, oh yes, I'm all about science. So even just changing the way that you phrase stuff, people see it in a completely different way, even if it is literally teaching the exact same stuff.
So that's what I'm doing. Like, The tools work. Basically, everyone's using the same tools, but in different packages.
Yeah.
And the tools basically are all about self-acceptance, self-forgiveness, and self-love. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
And from that, you become sexy.
Fuck number five.
The fuck that made me.
So, I burnt out from giving too many yoni massages back in 2017. I had to learn how to rest, and I really got into the Hare Krishnas up in like Walthamstow.
Amazing. Yeah.
And I was just hanging out with the Hare Krishnas all the time, just singing, because I couldn't give yoni massages anymore, which basically made me money. I couldn't dance anymore because I had chronic pain, and I couldn't make love anymore, and the whole Me Too movement was happening. So I just basically became super, like, I was a husk of a man. I no longer became, I forgot who I was basically.
Oh, wow.
So when there's pain in your body, the only thing you know and the only story you can talk about is just pain. So singing really helped. Devotional singing really helps. Learning about Krishna really helped, especially his phase as the Krishna and the gopis, where he would just have sex with all of these women whilst playing a flute, bringing all the wives of Vrindavan and all the women of Vrindavan into the forest. He would multiply himself so he could be present with all of them, so none of them would get jealous, and have sex with everyone. So I thought, wow, this is a really cool god. I want to embody this god. So I have a gift, and Tantra also teaches this, how to embody deities. Basically, you get possessed by certain gods. Right. So I used a very powerful technique on how to channel these deities into my body, so I became Krishna.
Right.
So I became Krishna, and you know it's working when people see you on the dance floor and come up to you afterwards and go, wow, are you Krishna? And it's like, ah, thank you for the external validation I was looking for. That's the inner work I've been doing for a year now. And from this space of pain and suffering and like not working, I actually learned how to have more threesomes than I could ever dream of. So the most life-changing sex I had was my first relationship dynamic when it came to actually having sex, but also being in a relationship and starting a business with me and two women. Like, that was profound. Like, that was a big game changer for me, because then I saw the male fantasy of having a harem actually being true. And then I developed a technique and a simple blueprint on how to have lots of threesomes in a very safe way where everyone's needs are met. And now that's a workshop and coaching I give to people who want to open up their relationship or understand how to like make everyone feel included in a three-way dynamic.
Yeah. What was it about the three-way dynamic that was so life-changing, and like giving yourself to two people at the same time?
So as a yoni practitioner, like a tantric practitioner, our main work is being present, like channeling this god called Shiva, the divine masculine energy, which is basically to be present. As Eckhart Tolle says, it's all about the power of now. We just have a picture instead of a book. And we channel this deity, and he looks like me, and he has a top knot, and he wears like animal print. He's super cool and super hot. So it made me more present. And what happens when you become more present? You stop being mentally insane. Like, you stop thinking about the past, depression. You stop thinking about the future, anxiety, and you just are in the present moment. And you could like take away from the story, which is your life. And trust me, I've got some great stories, but the stories I tell myself are pretty fucked up. So what I need to do is just be as present as I can be, so it gives my brain a break from myself.
Yeah. I actually kind of relate to what you're saying. Like, I had my first ever threesome maybe like just over a month ago, and it was a very different experience sexually, like, and I did feel more kind of present, and it was more about kind of being there in the moment and like being there for the other people, not just myself.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't really about me anymore. It was about sort of just being in the moment and enjoying this kind of a connection that we were all having.
The oneness, how can I serve?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
It's beautiful.
Well, I think we're going to have to wrap up this podcast. It is time for us to fuck off. And I am so sorry about all these technical issues. We have been like, I guess the Wi-Fi in Thailand, like, to hear is just like, it's not agreeing with us today, is it?
It's all fucked anyway, isn't it? Like, everyone's at home wanking on their little computers, using up all of our broadband width, for fuck's sake. Actually, probably listening to this at home, hopefully our amazing editor Jack and Winnie have like made this super smooth, so you don't even notice all the technical issues. Like, this this has been,
I'm sure they will have,
a 2-hour long podcast recording. So yeah, guys, so sorry about this.
Thank you so much, Shah, for bearing with us and sticking with us through the whole of this Foxgiven episode.
Yeah, we really appreciate
you. Thank you
so amazing.
Much.
Such an interesting
person. I'm a big fan of you girls.
Oh,
thank you so much. Yeah, you guys are doing amazing work. I'm a big fan. So I'd love to work with you and give you a double yoni massage.
Hey, it's in, man. And we should probably try and redo this recording when you're back in London.
I would love that.
For fuck's sake, it's been so painful. But please tell our curious fuckers where they can find you if they haven't caught it already during this episode.
You can find me on Instagram at Shaft Udin. You can find me on YouTube at Shaft Udin. And my professional site, sacredsexualawakening.com. Check it out.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been so like amazing having you
like
on.
A little tooth ding there, like ding, yeah. Ding.
So beautiful. Guys, remember to leave us a lovely review. I actually read a really nice review today and it really like warmed my heart. So please do leave us reviews.
Yeah,
and leave us a rating and subscribe.
She said like, what was it? Something like, you've changed my life. It was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
really
lovely.
Touched.
Yeah, please do leave us ratings and reviews. We're 5 stars at the moment on Apple Podcasts, which is mad.
Wow,
yeah, we literally just found that out today. Yeah. 5-star
podcast.
Watch
all the haters
right
go on
here.
There and be like, 1 star, you prince.
No. Don't do that.
And please share. Well, the best you can do at the moment is share to all your friends and family. If anyone's not having a good time during shutdown, lockdown, COVID-19 bullshit, please send them our podcast because at least they can either learn or laugh during this horrible quarantine period.
Binge this. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
Nice to meet you all. Stay magical, stay safe, keep it sacred.